Raleigh, North Carolina. It's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm Jack.
And welcome to the Monday edition of The Lost Podcast. How you doing, Jack?
Released on Tuesday.
No, it'll be released tonight, so
you sure?
On Monday.
Yep. Okay, all right.
All
right, can we just get this out? What's the deal with iTunes?
What do you mean?
Having problems with iTunes?
Sending emails, actually, that the actual episode on iTunes, like the episode of Lost wasn't even on iTunes.
Oh, so it's not us.
Yeah, if you saw one of the emails.
Well, how come people are saying, how come your podcast isn't up yet on
iTunes?
Yeah,
as long as you're subscribed to the feed, iTunes really has nothing to do with it. It's just basically iTunes just a conduit between our feed.
They just have to refresh it.
Yeah, they just have to refresh it. Unless
it's nothing you're doing wrong.
Exactly. Unless you're downloading it directly from, or like you click, like you open up our page on iTunes and you like click the most recent episode that's up there. iTunes just basically uploads the episode at their own pace, and sometimes it'll be delayed a couple days. So it's best to actually subscribe to the show and make sure your podcast directory automatically refreshes, or make sure you know to refresh your podcast so they are updated and downloaded.
Because we have several emails on the subject, and I just
want
to clear that.
Yeah, it's something that's been going on since the podcast first started. It's just a matter of...
And I usually just say, you know, I try to make it as nice as I can to say, you know, it's just Jay screwing up. What do you want from
Thanks,
me?
Thanks, I appreciate it. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We got some things we're looking back on last week's episode. Something nice back home. Got to look forward to this week's episode, which I'm very excited about this week's episode.
Did you still think it was a great episode, even though there wasn't a scene with Ben and Locke
eating
a hamburger?
No.
Because I know you really get into that. I know it makes you really happy.
You know, I'm not going to get into that. But I criticize the show, and I don't like it. I criticize Claire.
Yeah, you hate Claire.
Exactly. So
someone sent me an email, a Save Claire. I'm trying to figure out how to get it on the... it's Save Claire. They've put her head on the cheerleader from... Claire, the cheerleader from... That's right. They're both named
Heroes.
Claire.
Heroes, yeah.
Yeah, so Claire the cheerleader. It's actually... Can you see that, Jay?
Yes.
Can the people at home see that?
Save Claire, save the island. I'll give me that and I'll put it on the AAC.
All right, so that was from... Let's go back and find it. From Matt.
Okay. All right. So, Jack, what are you saying into the show today?
I say we do it.
All right. But before we get into anything, if you'd like to buy a Jay and Jack shirt, you can click the link right now on the AAC feed or check out jayandjack.com. Click the link on the sidebar or check out shopsaminate.com. Check out the Jay and Jack t-shirts, but skip those Darmalars ones.
Yeah, we don't like the Darmalars, guys.
Hate the Darmalars.
Come on. Jeez.
Lame.
Bunch of frat boys.
Yeah, exactly. They don't even talk about Lost on their podcast.
I mean, unbelievable. They think Lost is... They think it's actually a TV show. Lost is real.
All right, Jack, what do you say we get into Lost in Review?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
I'm trying to change it up.
Each week there's one thing to do. It's none other than Lost in Review. We take a look back at last week's episode. It's Lost in Review.
All right, it's Lost in Review time. I'm going to take a look back at some of the Easter eggs and some other stuff from last week's episode. First up is, does Jack have a new tattoo? A new back tattoo. We're going to write now.
What's
it say?
R?
Like R and like an S with like an arrow.
What's his kid's name?
I don't know. I love how you do this where you like come up with something. That's a good logical question after we already have everything set up and I don't have the answer.
I didn't know that was going to be part of the deal.
You do that all the time. It's like, what?
Well,
become more prepared to the podcast.
Wouldn't you think it'd be his kid's name or what's his wife's name?
I don't know. Look it up.
Mrs. Matthew Fox.
A new tattoo. It's probably just him getting a new tattoo. I don't think it's really like a tattoo that is his, like because of the show. And hopefully we won't have to have Bei Ling explain to us why.
No, we don't want that. No. There was criticism on that episode, wasn't there?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we said we didn't like that episode. We didn't like Bei Ling. Next up is people wondering, you know, what was Christian Shepherd wearing? Well, there's actually some promotional photos released, and it looks like a striped button-up shirt without a tie, but not a red or pink shirt as we were talking about.
I think I said pink shirt, but I think it's just the way the fire was.
Yeah, it's just the way the fire was glowing on it. Now, in Kate's house, in the famous picking her up, making out with Kate scene, in the background,
did that happen?
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
In the background, there seems to be this painting with kind of a man standing in like a water, or body of water. And people are saying this is very reminiscent of Christian Shepherd when he was standing in the water in early in season one. So maybe that's an allusion to that.
We had an email from Kristen who said that Jack put the panties in a hamper, not a drawer.
Oh, okay.
And I went back and watched again. It does look like it was a hamper. So they're not recycled.
Okay.
Well, we don't know. We don't know if they wash them or not. But...
Now, if you looked on Kate's refrigerator, there was a lot of different, you know, like cutouts that look like somebody made it like a kindergarten or something like that. Well, actually, if you look back to Santa Rosa in the season premiere Hurley-centric episode, The Beginning of the End, there is actually, if you look closely, you can see the same cutouts that are on Kate's refrigerator were also in the game room or rec room in Santa Rosa. The butterflies, the ladybugs are also used, and the flowers are also used on Kate's refrigerator.
Coincidence? I think not. But I got to be honest,
okay,
in defense of me for not seeing it the first time,
mm-hmm,
I only noticed Kate didn't notice the refrigerator or anything else in the scene. So
uh-huh.
I didn't, until you pointed it out, I didn't know there was a refrigerator. Like, oh, okay.
Wait, she's in a house?
In a house?
No. I didn't even recognize that.
I was confused.
Yes, also, last but not least, the Red Sox, Yankees sweeping the Red Sox, kind of puts the date around August 30th, 2007.
Okay, now when was the obituary?
The obituary was placed in a newspaper, an LA Times newspaper, that was April 5th, 2007.
So this is after.
Yeah, and the newspaper that showed the Yankees was August 30th, 2007. So obviously it is some kind of error in...
You think it's a continuity error?
Yeah, because even the Greg Bilson, the writer Greg Bilson, is actually like a prop company.
Unless, of course, this was all just a dream.
Yeah, I really think it's more a prop error. But that's just me.
Well, they said the obituary was going to change anyway, right?
Yeah, they said they're going to change the obituary, and I think they'll be able to change this. So I don't know how much, you know, facts we can actually put into.
Well, shouldn't they have had
the
this
newspaper clipping?
Be critical here.
Okay.
Shouldn't they have this all worked out before they put releases?
No, because they're just going to make everyone chase these little, you know,
look, Jay,
red herrings.
I'm giving you an opportunity to blast the show.
Well, I can't. I just can't do it. I can't do it. Well, I understand from a creative standpoint. You know, there's just some things. It's there's so much you have to do.
Hold on a second. I just want to interrupt you. No, I. It just seems. But is it a continuity error or is it? Come on. We don't know for a fact.
I think it's some things we just kind of have to like pull back and not put everything into. And I think props. You can't always put everything
okay,
into
then
the props.
I'm going to start a campaign, not only to save Claire, but fire the prop guys.
Because there's also, you know, everyone was like, when the Jesus stick was back for season three, it wasn't the same Jesus stick. The reason was, not because there's some underlying, is because Damon actually framed the original Jesus stick in his office.
Well, he couldn't have said, hey, here's my Jesus stick. Here, you can borrow it for now, but don't break my Jesus stick.
Yeah, I mean, so it's just things like that. And I think sometimes we have to pull back on using
the props. Damon's not a big guy. They could have grabbed it from him. He's not like an imposing figure, is he?
Yeah. But that's all.
I think even you could take him.
The Easter egg-y stuff that we're going to look over. There's some more things that I wanted to leave for listener feedback.
I'm sure you have things about the scars.
Yes. Had so many calls about the scars and stuff. So we'll talk about that once in listener feedback. Okay. All right. So, Jack, what do you say we get into what's going on in this week's episode on Next on Lost?
The TV show?
Yes.
Okay.
Remember, this does contain light spoilery information. So if you don't like that, just skip ahead to the next section.
Should I say I did find out the tattoos on the...
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yes.
They're not his sons. It's his children.
Where are his children's
names? I don't want to give the names. But
it's on Wikipedia.
And then people can go look it up.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be snotty to
okay.
people. It's his personal stuff.
Okay,
I was throwing out there, and I should have kept my mouth shut.
Okay. All right, Jack, you ready for Lost interview?
Yes.
I mean, Next on Lost.
Yes.
Here we go.
Next on Lost. Next on Lost. The TV show. Next on Lost. Next on Lost. But maybe it's next week. Maybe it's in a couple days. Cause next on Lost. Lost.
Alright, it's next on Lost time. And let's look at what we have this week on Lost.
This may contain spoilers.
Yes, it may. Alright. Episode title, Cabin Fever.
Cabin Fever.
Locke is enlightened to the whereabouts of Jake and Jake's
Cabin fever means you're locked in a cabin, you can't get out.
Yes.
So
Locke is enlightened as to the whereabouts of Jacob's cabin, and life aboard the freighter becomes perilous on Lost.
the TV show.
Kind of generic. But I was like looking into the guest stars on the episode. We have Jeff Fahey as Frank Lapidus, Lance Reddick as Matthew Abaddon.
Ooh, he's baggy.
Mm-hmm.
Will he be on the island? Will
Don't
he be
know.
Jacob?
Maybe in a flashback or a flash forward.
Oh.
Don't know.
Whose episode is it? John Locke?
It's a John Locke episode.
Oh, do you always like... Okay, well, we already know that Jay's going to like this episode.
Yes, so might as well just criticize me now. Mark Vann as Doctor... Kevin Durand as Kimi.
Hey, would you take the part as Doctor?
Sure.
Yeah, you can call me Doctor.
I'll take the paycheck.
Yeah.
Anthony Azizi as Omar. Grant Bowler as Captain Galt. John Terry as Christian Shepherd.
This guy's getting a lot of airtime for someone who doesn't watch the show.
Holland Roden as Emily. Rebecca Tilney as Emily's mother. Amanda Carlin as ER nurse. Patrick Torres as ER doctor. Doug Hutchinson as Horace Goodspeed.
Mm-hmm.
Nestor Carbondale is Richard Alpert.
Oh!
Matthew Pedersen as physical therapist. Mandy June Turpin as Florence. Sarah Duvall as Melissa. Charles Henry Weissen as John Locke, age 5.
Wow.
Phil Abrams.
Will he have hair?
Phil Abrams as Gellert. And Caleb Steinmeier as John Locke, age 16.
Well, obviously, a physical therapist, John Locke's going to be having some physical therapy.
Yeah, for his, you know, broken back.
That's probably how they'll start it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be going back in time, trying to remember happier days.
I guess so.
That's just I'm just throwing it out there.
So I guess we can feel that this is going to be a flashback, since they're going to have an age 5 Locke and age 16 Locke. But also, it could be like
now,
maybe like his younger selves like appears on the island as like a vision or something.
Now,
like
what
that.
If John Locke picks up a paper and it says the Red Sox beat the Yankees 2007, and he goes, "Dang, A-Rod." Now, would that be a continuity error?
If yeah, I don't know where you're going with this.
I'm just saying, if he picks up a, you know, he's age 5.
Oh, man.
Pay
all
attention.
Right.
He's, yeah. How old is he now?
He's
like 50?
Yeah, he's like in his 50s.
Okay, so
or 45, something like that.
Yeah.
And bald.
Where are you going with that? Nothing wrong.
But it looks like a great episode. I can't wait. Locke's, you know, my favorite character, and I can't wait to see what they pull out of the episode.
Yes.
All right. Jack, what do you say we get into listener feedback?
I say let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Listener feedback.
All right, it's listener feedback time. Got a lot of great listener feedback to get into. Let's get into the first set of calls here. Julie in New Orleans. Mark O, Malt Liquor. Glenn and Katie from Milwaukee. Here we go.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Julie in New Orleans, although actually I'm from North Carolina. Went to college in Raleigh for a few years. Gosh, that was a long time ago. Anyway, just thought I would point out something that I noticed in the episode, something nice back home. As I was gazing at Jack's naked flesh in the scene where he was walking around in a towel, I thought to myself, you don't really see a lot of half-naked men on TV anymore. So I studied his bare flesh thinking, well, there must be a reason they're making him walk around with those love handles. And when I realized that he was going to have an appendectomy, I thought, that's it. He didn't have that scar when he was walking around in what is supposed to be a flash forward. Now, I don't really know what they're trying to tell us, as I'm not particularly good at figuring these things out. I totally missed the mark with my theory that Vincent was going to be one of the Oceanic Six, right? So since y'all didn't mention it in your podcast, and you know, I figured maybe Kate was a bit too distracting for you in those scenes and you missed it. So I thought, you know, I'd mention it now and see what y'all think. Maybe it goes along with the whole they are all dead thing. I don't know, but just thought I'd throw it out there. Thanks for the podcast. Y'all do a great job. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Mark O., the lost boy from New York City. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch Eli Stone, which was the ABC show that had been following Lost, but they had an episode in the season finale that showed Eli in a coma from a botched operation, but in his mind, he thought that it was a week earlier and that he hadn't had the operation yet. And it's interesting because the show had portrayed the operation as flash forwards, but by the end of the episode, watching it, we realized that the operation already happened, and the scenes of Eli from before were all in his head. And as you see people talking to him while he's at his bedside, and these people show up in his story that's happening in his mind, and he slowly begins to realize that he's actually in the coma and that the operation already happened. and I just found it similar to the Jack storyline this week, with the writers hinting that his flash forward may be the result of something that went wrong with the Oceanic Six, and maybe they're all in a coma. Just something I've noticed is with, like, writers often tend to get, like, similar ideas at the same time, and just thought that this could be another one. Just something to think about. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Hey, guys, this is Malt Liquor from Philadelphia, and here's my crackpot theory. There's going to be a death match between Jin and Claire, and they're going to mortally wound each other. That's my crackpot theory, and I stick to it.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Len from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I have just a couple things that I think we need to keep in mind. I was listening to you guys discussing on the podcast after The Shape of Things to Come. You guys were talking about whether there is another station off the island where Ben might have come from, the Orchid Station, because of the parka and the cold breath. And I think that there almost definitely has to be, because otherwise how, when I've had the theory for a long time, since we first saw the Looking Glass Station, I thought that the only purpose of a station called the Looking Glass had to be for teleportation, that it had to be their means off the island. The submarine was a ruse to get people down to the Looking Glass Station, and then they use the Looking Glass Station to get on and off the island. But there's got to be some way, some portal or some other station, even if it's just a closet, off the island that they use to get back. They have to have some way to get back to the island. So I suspect that there are a bunch of stations or maybe mini stations all over the world, and that they use those to get back to the island. The other question that I have, and again, this is not so much an answer, but just something that I've had problems with all along. When they talk about the time distortion properties of the island, and when Faraday fired the rocket off and it came back, and then I think it was Jack asked him how long they've been gone, and he said, well, that's, you know, time's kind of relative. And the whole problem I have with that is the solar cycles. If time's relative on the island, then they wouldn't be having 24-hour days. They would have noticed this the whole time they've been on the island, because they, from everything we can tell, they see the same sun and they see the same constellations that we see. So they're seeing the same sky. So if time was malleable and you know, ran at a different pace on a different clock on the island, they'd be seeing, you know, 48-hour days. They'd be seeing 40 hours of sunlight and 20 hours of night, or, you know, something funky like that. They wouldn't be seeing regular 24-hour days. So they can't see the sun rise and set, rise and set, rise and set, and have 3 days pass in terms of solar cycles, and then somehow say, well, no, really 6 days have passed. There's just something off there. So, you know, hopefully if they're going to say that time's different on the island, they're going to have to explain that. Otherwise, I'm going to have a problem with it. That's all I've got for now. Thanks a lot. Love the podcast. Bye.
Hey, James. This is Katie from Milwaukee. I just finished listening to the Friday edition of the podcast, and I had the chance to rewatch Something Nice Back Home. And I was just thinking more about what could have happened to Sawyer and why he didn't get to leave the island, especially since it seems he was able to talk to Kate before she left. I think what happens is Sawyer decides not to leave the island because Claire is missing, and he feels partly responsible for that. And so he decides to continue searching for her while more rescue can come back for the rest of them. And then he lets Kate take the baby off the island because he doesn't feel fit to take care of it, and he thinks Aaron will be safer back home. And I'm sure the whole issue of the baby brought up his personal feelings about Clementine, and as he's saying goodbye to Kate, he makes sure to ask her to go search for Clementine and let her know that her dad is thinking about her. And then I was also just thinking about, you know, how Jack and Claire are eventually going to figure out that they are related. And I was just thinking back again to season one, I believe it was, where Sawyer meets Christian Shepherd in a bar. And, you know, he eventually realizes it is Jack's dad and gets to tell Jack about that. And so there's always the chance of, you know, Sawyer being able to make the connection if he were to see Christian wandering around the island with Claire or, you know, by himself again, since he is the only other one who really knows what Christian Shepherd looks like. You know, so before the Oceanic Six leave the island, Sawyer might be able to discover that relationship. And wow, this whole season of Lost has just made me so excited to be a Lost fan, and I thank you both for being such a part of this wonderful Lost experience. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
All right, thank you for those calls.
Yeah, I like Katie's theory.
Yeah.
On Sawyer, that's why Sawyer stayed behind. Only problem is, though, why would Jack be so snotty when he said to Kate?
He's on drugs and crap.
I know, but then why wouldn't Kate defend him? Why wouldn't Kate say, well, he stayed behind because he was still looking for Claire?
Well, maybe Sawyer, in his Sawyer sense, never revealed why he was staying, but that was the reason.
Okay.
I can totally see Sawyer doing something like that.
I can see that, yeah. And I can see him giving, Son got off the island.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to leave the baby with Juliet.
Yeah.
Juliet would sell it. You know, we know that. Who else is left? Alex is dead. Danielle's dead.
Juliet might be dead. Who knows?
Yeah, we don't know. What women are left that we could take care of? Rose? Leave the baby with Rose. Rose isn't leaving.
Yeah. I think we don't know what happens. We don't know where the future holds and why or what.
I'm just trying to think who would be left behind to take care of. And I'm not saying necessarily it has to be a woman to take care of the baby either. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Well, I guess that's what I was saying. But no, I was just trying to think of what...
Yeah.
But that does make a lot of sense. That's why... Okay. And that Claire's just roaming the island. What do you think? Where do you think Claire's at?
I don't know yet. I don't really have any theories.
Okay, then Glenn... Well, that's...
I'm just glad she's gone.
Man, brutal. And then Glenn saying he thinks there's other stations off the island. You don't think that, right? But I do.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, I guess you consider the Looking Glass station off the island.
I mean, but we were saying on another place.
Yeah.
And he's also saying the timeline issue is going to have to be solved.
Well, see, here's the thing. Like we said before, it's like, well, how did it get night all of a sudden?
Yeah, but that's been explained. Maybe hasn't that been explained because of filming?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's like but you could also say, like, sure, that's like an actual real reason. But you could also say maybe it's because of the time difference. It goes.
Well, the only one with a watch was Michael. Right? The only one walking around with a watch is Michael.
Well, we don't know. There's probably other people with watches.
But I'm thinking, how often if you're on a deserted island with nothing to do, would you notice that it's, you know, you've had so much hours of light?
Locke would, because he seemed
Locke doesn't know anything.
And also Saeed would. You know, they're training. They've had army training.
Yeah, but you're more concerned about surviving. Would you notice, wow.
Well, if there's like an off day when there's no others trying to kill you or anything like that. You could like organize that kind of stuff.
They can't. They don't organize.
But also, there's been like pictures of like the Big Dipper being reversed or backwards, and not the same. And so, I mean, there is stuff out there that doesn't really match up for that, and that could explain it.
All right, I'd be all right with that.
Yeah.
Malt Liquor wants a death match between Jin and Claire.
Okay, if you're gonna have a crackpot theory, you need to give us an explanation. Why? Why are they gonna have a death match?
What? Maybe Jin's tired of Claire. Maybe
or maybe Claire's
maybe he's sick of hearing about her damn baby.
Or maybe Claire's in the way of Sun getting off the island or something like that.
Huh? You really think so?
No.
I know it's just more of a joke than anything else.
So what do you say we get into one of these emails here?
Well, we got still a few more comments here.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Marco, Eli Stone, I did watch that episode and he was so but we I think at first I really thought it was maybe a dream and he was dreaming, but how could he dream Aaron being in the future?
Yeah, exactly. It's really specific.
I could see him being with Claire. I'm not Claire. I'm with
Kate.
Mm-hmm. But the Aaron thing would just too wacky. And then is it Julie?
Mm-hmm.
With the half-naked men. Yeah, I'm all for not having half-naked men on the thing. But was Jack in a scene with Claire? I mean, Kate? Was he in a scene? I thought Kate was just by herself.
What do you mean?
Again, I'm just joking.
No, we're just talking about the scar.
Yeah,
there is a scar there.
There is a scar there. We have looked at it. And
I'll put it in the ace, but there is a very faint scar, but it's a pretty prominent scar in that area. So I think that explains it pretty well.
So again, that would point out to it not being a dream and being reality. Well, reality in the Lost World.
Which isn't much of a reality.
Yes, so go ahead.
Let's go to this email right here. Jane Jack, first, Jack, I wholeheartedly agree with your theory that Ben planned the whole scene. When I was watching it, I couldn't help but think that he was just orchestrating the whole thing to gain trust of the Lossies. And not just partial trust. After seeing him lose Alex and then take charge and save them from Kimi, I think they completely trust him now. Plus, When he stayed back to say goodbye to Alex, might he have been retrieving the thing that was seen in her ear in the previous episode? A recording device, perhaps? Also, good call on Charlotte possibly working for Mr. Pike. I definitely think he plays a part in all of this. And also think that there was a point in a Jin flashback other than to deceive us. And that it was to introduce Mr. Pike into the story. Is he a possible player in the game? Was Hanso a player that was knocked out and no longer in the running for winning? Is the island the key to global domination, the way Australia is the key to winning Risk? Inquiring minds want to know. And now, Jay, I sincerely hope that they don't kill Claire, because I love when you imitate her and say, "My baby." I think you should say it at least once per show. Plebeian.
That was a great email.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, because I had an email with someone else about Alex, and you know, they were saying how she's just a pawn. Maybe she was just a pawn. Mm-hmm. He was sacrificed. Maybe Ben didn't care if she lived or died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking too. You watch that scene again where he says, "Go with your mother. She'll." Obviously, he knew that she wasn't going to be safe.
Yeah,
and she got killed. And didn't she tell him to say, "You're my daughter"?
Okay, but then why go through all of the things that go after Widmore and say, "You killed my daughter"? If it's just between them.
Well, maybe that's a way of Ben changing the rules. Maybe Ben manipulated the rule change himself.
Yeah, I just don't see if it's just between Widmore and Ben, he wouldn't need to keep up the whole thing.
When is Ben? When has Ben never had the upper hand? When have we never seen him have the upper hand?
Yeah, so I don't know. I just don't think he.
Ben does things. He does it for a reason.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's never an accident.
I know.
But, unless this one time was an accident.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying. The one time was
you
an
guarantee
accident.
It?
I'm not guaranteeing anything.
Okay. What do you say we get to the next set of calls here? All right, we got one from Justin from San Francisco, Andy from San Francisco, Aaron, Raider Tailgater, and Jane Doe from Jane Doe Land. Here we go.
All right.
Hey, Jane, Jack. This is Justin from San Francisco, a longtime listener, first-time caller. So I've got a theory. After seeing the Millennium Falcon reference in last episode, I think, you know, 4.10, I started thinking, maybe there are some deeper parallels to Star Wars, and maybe Christian Shepherd is actually the role of Darth Vader, and Jack and Claire are kind of like Luke and Leia. And then I started thinking, if that's the case, then maybe actually Christian is or was the apprentice to some darker master who could either be Ben or Charles Widmore. And the darker of the two right now, to me, actually seems like Charles Widmore. So that's my theory, that actually Kristen Shepherd actually has a backstory with Charles Widmore. You know, maybe something caused him to start drinking, you know, something kind of like, you know, Darth Vader in his life turned him evil. You know, now it turned him to start drinking, and that, you know, would later affect Jack and Claire. So that's my crackpot theory, and I'm sticking with it. Okay, I can't wait to your next show. Okay, bye.
Hey, guys, this is Andy from San Francisco. Guys, I love the show, but I was disappointed this week. I listened to the Friday podcast while I was on my exercise bike in the gym, and I'm waiting for you guys to talk about, like, what was Juliet doing. Like, what did she do to Jack? Because there were several clues that that something was weird was going on. So first you had Rose asking Bernard, you know, about the strange coincidence of Jack getting sick right as they're about to leave or potentially going to leave. And then you have Juliet shaving in the wrong area. And then you have Kate. So first they try to chloroform Jack, and then they have to chloroform Kate. So I think there was definitely some suggestion that Juliet and Bernard somehow wanted Jack out with no one around. And so my theory is that something happened in that operation that is going to affect Jack in the future. That's it. Love the podcast. Thanks. Keep it up. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Aaron. I just wanted to say that I have a theory about Claire. In the 9th episode, Claire says Charlie's name when Sawyer picks her up out of the rubble. And in episode 10, Claire says that she was seeing things, but now she's not. I was wondering, maybe you thought that Claire was actually seeing Charlie, just like she was seeing Christian in the last episode. I'm just trying to keep this short, and that's about it. So, love the podcast. Bye.
Hi, Jay and Jack. This is the Raider Tailgater, the fan formerly known as Mr. G-Man, 32 miles from Portland. Hey, I'm pretty sure that the beer that Jack was drinking was a Widmer 20-ouncer. Widmer? Huh? It's that unfiltered stuff. It's not good for you. But I don't know if anybody else caught that, but or if they have that available in Raleigh. It's pretty popular around here in the Northwest area. But, hey, I picked up on it. I could be wrong. Maybe somebody can put up a screen cap that'll show. Love your show, guys. Bye.
Hi, Jay and Jack. This is Jane Doe from Jane Doe Land. And I'm just calling about the episode that we had this week, Something Nice Back Home. And, oh my God, Kate was so annoying. I'm a huge Jack and Juliet fan, and this episode just really annoyed me. I kind of jumped the shark on this one. I think the show's great, but if you're going to have relationships, do them well, and have Kate eaten by a shark.
Ouch. So is Jane Doe Land in the valley?
Yeah, in the valley, and they like to see poor defenseless women being eaten by sharks.
I mean, what's Kate was annoying.
I think she was that annoying. She can be annoying, but I didn't think she was that bad.
I thought Kate was I thought it was one of her best episodes ever. Just saying. So, but she's a Juliet Jack fan. That's what she said. What do they call that? I don't even know.
A Juder, I thought, or something like that.
I don't know what they call that. Going to Raider Tailgater. Mr. G-Man, this one I got a PM and I was like, I haven't written back yet. I'm like, wow, can't be another Raider fan out there. But is it? What do you say it was?
Widmer.
Widmer.
Mm-hmm.
So Widmore. So
if anybody can back that up for us,
that would be pretty cool if that was the case. Eh?
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Unfiltered beer. What does that mean? I don't think I've ever had unfiltered beer before.
I don't know.
Of course, a Raider fan would know.
Yeah, a Raider fan would know. We're just kidding you, Chargers. Anyway, Aaron, Claire had a vision of Charlie, much like she had her father. So what do you think of that?
I say it's a possibility because there was like a dream sequence scene shot for her that they cut out. So I think there is still a lot to this whole Claire story that we haven't really gotten into yet, or they're just not really showing because they are kind of pressed for time. So yeah, I'd say it's a possibility.
Yeah, I can go with it. And then Andy, you know, it cracks me up. We always get these people. He was listening to us on an exercise bike, and people are always jogging and running and working out and stuff. And we're in here recording, eating donuts and pizza and ice cream. And
it's a misconception. No, they didn't
pass the chips.
They didn't chloroform Kate. They just kicked her out.
No, they just threw her out.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't put it past Juliet to do something. And, of course, we got Dharma Burney in there.
When I first heard Rose start talking, I thought that's what they were going to do. They're going to try and, like, burn Juliet the steak or something.
Which that'd be all right with me.
Which is like, oh, he can't be sick, blah, blah, blah. She must have done something. That's what I thought she was going to do.
Well, that's what I thought. I was thinking maybe they did that, like they did with Claire.
Yeah,
I talked about that before. But
yeah, but didn't go that way.
Hmm. And then we have Justin. Yeah, who knows? You never know. And she seemed a little upset when Kate came back in the room. You know, she was whole, you know, I kissed him.
Uh-huh.
I know you're awake.
Well, I thought she was doing the noble thing, I thought, but that's just me.
I thought she'd being a little bitter.
Okay.
Ethan really thought she'd being noble?
I thought so.
Why would she say, I know you're awake?
Well, because she's mad at him, but she's not mad at Kate.
He just had an operation. You know, you just saved
his
life.
You don't lead a girl, you know.
Let the guy wake up a little bit first before you start slamming him. You wouldn't even finish sewing him up yet.
Anyways, continue.
And then Justin,
San Francisco.
Yeah, from the whole Darth Vader thing and the whole, so is Charles Widmore the evil one or is it Ben?
Jacob would be, you know, Darth Sidious.
Really? So you think that's it?
I don't think it would be that much of a Star Wars, like.
I think they just throw that in to be cool, don't you?
Yeah, they're big Star Wars fans and there is other Star Wars references throughout the show. So it's like another just fun Star Wars reference, I think.
Okay. I got an email here.
Okay.
And this is an email from probably one of my favorite names of all time.
Okay.
Because it was in the contest last year, and this person was in like the top 15, and I always remember their name. It's from Med School Sucks.
Med School Sucks.
And I remember I was doing the contest, and whenever I got to Med School Sucks, I always got a kind of a check out of it.
Yeah.
And I go, wow, I wonder what that's all about. And basically, they were talking about the scar, but there was one part in the beginning that I wanted to read.
Okay, let's get to it.
First of all, I just realized today how long I've actually been listening to your most awesome of podcasts.
Okay.
The first time I tuned in was during my first semester of med school, while I was studying for an anatomy test, and well, tomorrow is my graduation. So congratulations. Aww. So definitely, first, let me thank you guys so much for helping me keep sane during the med school and give me an outlet from all the nut jobs that I had to go to school with. Now, this is the part that caught me.
Okay.
Going to med school, and he or she's going to school with a bunch of nut jobs.
Yes.
Can you please tell me where they're going to practice medicine? Just curious. Just like to know that up front.
I guess like doctor confidentiality.
Yeah, thing. I guess I can't point that out.
Yeah.
But anyway, she I don't know if it's a he or she, had the, was talking about the scar.
Ah, gotcha. So, yeah.
I just thought that was funny, though, just going to school with a bunch of
nut jobs.
You wouldn't think there'd be a lot of nut jobs in med school.
I don't know. I've never been there myself. All right. You ready for the last set of calls?
That would add to the quota.
We got a Sari or a Sherry from Indiana. Lori from New Hampshire, John from Tampa Bay, Steve from Detroit, and Matt from Houston.
All right.
Here we go.
Hi, Jane Jack. This is Sherry from Indiana. I'm the person who called and said the Whispers were time travelers. Your response was that you thought they were ghosts, and I'll tell you why I didn't go there. The reason why I didn't think that is because the Whispers from the other 48 days in season 2, where Shannon and Saeed are in the jungle, one of the Whisperers says dude twice. And Hurley's the only one that says dude, and he, in my mind, was alive. So if I go along with you and say that Whispers are ghosts, that would make Hurley a ghost too, so Hurley's dead. Also in the Whispers from Abandon in season 2, where Shannon and Saeed are in the jungle, the Whispers say, I can see eye to eye. I'm in someone's dream. So I was thinking when you said that Claire had some premonition in her while she was dreaming, and they edited that out. So I'm assuming from that the Whispers can either read our minds while we're sleeping or communicate with us, or the Losties, I mean, in their dreams. So anyway, that's my thoughts. I really, really, really hope you respond to that, because I'm really curious if you think, you know, if I go there with you on the ghost thing, that would mean Hurley's dead, and what do you think about that? Thanks for listening. Hope I hear your response. Listen to your podcast tomorrow. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Lori from New Hampshire. I was just thinking about the latest episode, Something Nice Back Home, and I had a couple of quick questions. I know that the names of characters and places always seem to have some significance, so I was wondering what your thoughts were about Hurley's mental institution being called Santa Rosa. I'm wondering if that has any connection with Rose, and I'm wondering if she and Bernie will have any kind of major significance coming up in the next few episodes. And also I was wondering, at the beginning of the episode, when Jack is putting Aaron to bed, it seems like his bedroom is up on the second floor when Kate and Jack kind of get all fired up. And then at the end of the episode, when Aaron wakes up, when they're arguing, it kind of looks like he just kind of comes out of his room on the first floor. So just kind of a little inconsistency there. He didn't seem to come down the stairs. But anyway, just wanted to get your thoughts. I love listening to the podcast, and I'm looking forward to the next episode. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Jane Jack. This is John from Tampa Bay, Florida. I'm just calling because I got a couple of theories about Miles, and they're both kind of contradicting each other, but I'm going to go ahead and tell them to you anyway because I haven't heard these theories on your podcast or any of the other ones. First one being that possibly since Miles might not be psychic because Kimi could have told him where the bodies are buried. So, you know, when he released him from that shed or whatever and before he went and talked to Ben and Locke and stuff. Second, I don't think, if he is psychic, I don't think Miles is interested in Claire. I think he's interested in Aaron. I think he could probably, if he is psychic, he could probably tell that Aaron is also special. So that's why he's staring at the baby and not Claire, and why he's asking Claire to hold the baby so maybe he can use his psychic powers to see if Aaron is special. So anyway, those are my theories. Love the show. I'll probably be calling in again.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Steve from Detroit. Calling with a little bit more of an observation. I was just listening to your second podcast after Shape of Things to Come. I'm a little bit behind in my viewership and listenership, but the whole discussion about Claire and her impending death bothers me a little bit that back in season one, when we learned the background on Claire and Aaron, how very critical it was that Claire not give up Aaron, and that Claire, in fact, be the one to raise Aaron. In fact, there was a time when I thought that possibly the whole plane crash was to ensure that, in fact, she did not give up Aaron for adoption. And it really kind of bugs me that the writers have just dropped that. And, you know, it was really intimated that Aaron was going to have some very special, very unique powers or capabilities or characteristics. And I see really no evidence of them developing that. And the fact that Aaron's just going to end up with Kate one day and Claire's going to go bye-bye just bugs me that they have not that plot line. I wonder what you think about that. Thanks. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack, it's Matt from Houston. I had a theory about the smoke monster. I think that if you die on the island, you somehow become part of the smoke monster. Or maybe if your dead body is on the island, then somehow your consciousness or your being becomes part of the smoke monster. So that way we can get people like Yemi or Christian acting, and then somehow the smoke monster appears and, you know, kills Mr. Echo or things like that. I think in the future we're going to have an episode from the point of view of the smoke monster, and get the smoke monster is going to be in the form of Rousseau. That's right. So that way we can still get Rousseau's flashback and get more information about the smoke monster at the same time. Love the podcast. Keep it up, guys.
All right. Thank you for those calls.
Now, wasn't that one of my way, way, way back there, crackpot?
Yeah, but see, the thing is, his was way better because that one actually made sense. You're just like, she is the smoke monster.
No, his makes more. I'm not saying mine made sense. I'm not here to defend myself.
You just kind of threw out words.
Rousseau is a smoke monster because, well, remember she said there is no smoke monster. Well, obviously we've seen a smoke monster. We've seen it. Mm-hmm. And she says there's not. So I said, and they remember they said we've seen the smoke monster in other forms.
Yeah, this is before like the whole Yemi thing.
Yeah, the whole Yemi thing. So I said, well, it's got to be Rousseau. It's got to be. Yeah. So I would be cool with that. And I forgot to bring up too when he brought up smoke monster. Remember the doctor that wrote Jack the prescription?
Yes.
She's the one that interrupted Jack both times when he saw
Christian
Shepherd.
Yeah.
I forgot to bring that up, but mm-hmm. I noticed that the second time I watched it. Do you think that means anything?
I don't know how much it means. It could just be like kind of like one of those fate things.
Well, you didn't notice it, so it must have meant something. And then Steve said that he's upset with the writers because he feels they've dropped the ball on the whole Aaron being special, mm-hmm. that, you know, he thought the plane crash was caused maybe to keep Aaron from being taken, you know,
well, the
by
whole
the others.
The base, the Claire and Aaron, both of them together.
Right. That she had to raise them. And a lot of people sent emails, too, saying, hey, what's the deal that, you know, she was supposed to raise.
But see, that's the thing. It adds a lot of drama because she isn't raising him now, and that's going to be, like, a big thing. Like, what's going to happen now?
Well, they also, the psychic also said he was a fraud at one point, too. Now, do we believe he's a fraud? I don't think he was.
Yeah, I don't think he was either.
I think he was behind something.
Part of something, or he did actually obtain psychic powers that day, or really did sense something.
Well, because he kept calling her.
Yeah.
Insisting that, no, you have to raise the baby. You have to raise the baby. You have to raise the baby. But I think eventually they'll go back to it, don't you?
Well, yeah, I think that storyline still is there and will be addressed.
Or maybe the reason they're not addressing it, because that's the final conclusion of the story.
Yeah, maybe that's something down the road. Remember, there's still two seasons of show left.
Yes, so... And plus, we got, what, 4 or 5 more hours this year. And then yep. John said Miles was not interested in Claire, but interested in Aaron to see if he had special powers.
I'd say that's a very logical theory.
But does he only sees dead people, though, right?
Well, as far as we know so far, we don't know how far his clairvoyant and special powers go.
Huh. I don't know. I'm still confused on the whole Miles guy.
Okay.
But if he had special powers, would he know not to go into the camp and have Locke put a grenade in his mouth?
Well, maybe the money was more important to him than the $3.2 million.
Well, he didn't get it, did he?
No. Well, didn't say he was a good psychic.
No, he's not very good. And then Lori said, was there anything special about Santa Rosa? Now, I just Googled Santa Rosa, and they have St. Rose Historic District.
Eh.
I'm not saying that has anything to do with Rose on the island. Yeah. I know what. I think it's just Locke's a cool mom name. Was in Santa Rosa.
Yeah, Locke's mom was in Santa Rosa.
So you think there's more to Santa Rosa than we?
I think it's just maybe like one of those places that's referenced a lot. Remember the
population 152,000 people. So I don't know if that means anything.
Well, because remember in Ana Lucia's episode, they drove by Echo Park.
Yeah,
L.A. So I mean, I think it's just like kind of.
Well, Santa Rosa is it's one of those cool California names. So
yeah.
But maybe it does mean. Maybe there's more into it. I never Googled it. I never really thought that much into it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Especially you, Mr. Rose works for Dharma.
Well, yeah, Santa Rosa. But St. Rose Historic District. We have one more. Relax. There's Sherry. Okay. You know, you were wrong about the whispers. You want to know what you think about the whispers? Because in one of the whispers it says dude, who's the only one that says dude?
Hurley isn't the only one that has said dude on the island multiple times.
Dave said, so was Dave real?
Or the fact that he wasn't real actually helps out with the whispers. He's just this apparition.
So is it ghost? Or is it time travelers?
I
kind of like the time traveler theory.
Yeah, that's a little like weird, though.
But did Claire and Sawyer hear Rousseau and Carl talking? It was just... Were those whispers, or was that just Miles hearing?
I think Miles only heard it because everyone else was like, what? What's going on? Why are you freaking out?
So they didn't hear the whispers going on?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because that would mean they were ghosts. They weren't time traveling.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going anywhere. They were just kind of laying there. But so what do you think? Time travelers or ghosts? She wants to know.
I'm going to stick with ghosts of the past.
I'm going to go with time travelers.
Okay.
She's convinced me.
Okay.
I'm jumping ship. I'm jumping off the Black Rock. I'm going.
All right,
I'm going with a time traveler.
By a shark.
Only if I'm swimming with Claire or
Kate. All right, Jack. Is that all of them?
That's all.
All right, ready to get to the listener theory of the week?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Jan, Jack. It's John from Northern Kentucky. I was just watching the episode again. Something nice back home and. Something popped into my mind about Claire, about this whole weird thing with her walking off into the woods. What if she was already dead? And that's the whole reason why Miles was so interested in her. And some of the statements he had made in the episode previously when she said, I'll live, and he said, I wouldn't be so sure about that. And then she just mysteriously walks off into the woods. And prior to that, he was just really, I mean, it seemed like he wanted to get closer to her, like he knew something that other people didn't. And with us seeing more and more, visions of people who may not be alive or may already be dead, maybe, you know, she's dead, everybody sees her, but Miles is the only one that realizes it. And Kristen Shepherd was there to take her wherever she needs to be. I don't know. Weird theory. That's all. See you guys later.
I like it.
I like it. There's been a lot of theories on she's dead, and I think I like that one the best. It explains it a lot.
So, but how do the other people see her? Is it the island?
I guess the same way that maybe they see Yemi and Christian Shepherd and stuff.
Did everyone
like that.
See Yemi?
Not everyone, but most people have seen.
Is
Christian
it just
Shepherd.
It's just the island letting them see?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just
now,
some
how's
weird...
Claire holding Aaron if she's dead?
Maybe I don't know.
Why do they put a Band-Aid on her head if she's dead?
I don't know. I'm just saying it's an interesting
theory. No, it's an interesting theory, but as of now, we're going to say she's still alive because that affects the contest.
Okay. All right.
I'm not giving into that one.
Okay.
In the world of Lost,
it could happen, I think.
Yeah, in the world of Lost. And I would think that would explain why Miles is trying to get close to Claire. Then we had a thing
for dead people.
Clark, yeah, and who doesn't?
okay.
I don't know. Just trying to.
That's
a
man.
That's a long. I'm off my game. Usually we're on Sunday, and I'm really a Sunday podcaster, not a Monday podcaster.
All right, Jack, you ready to close up the show?
No, I have something to say.
Okay.
Ryan sent me something from Lostpedia.
Mm-hmm.
Hurley does say dude in the first, in the last episode, not the last episode, the one where they're playing Risk.
Shape of Things to Come?
Yes. So he does say dude, so the dude count is one. And I actually went back and watched it and said one. You realize that I went back and watched it on ABC today? We missed like a minute and 30 seconds of episode of Lost.
DVR killed us.
Yeah. So luckily, Jack was the first one to speak in that group.
Mm-hmm.
Because Juliet was actually the first one to speak on the show, but she was not listed
in that group.
So it does not affect the contest at all.
Whew.
I was sweating it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. You mess a minute and a half. You met on a show that's only 42 minutes long. You mess a lot.
Exactly.
And screwed up the whole recap.
All right, Jack, are you ready to close out the show?
Yes, I know you're hungry and you want to go eat.
All right, here we go. All right, guys, that is our show for this Monday. If you got to give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Call anytime.
Once again, 206-309-0311.
Call anytime.
If you have questions, comments, or theories. Also, you can give us an email at lostpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's lostpodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can check out our website at jandjack.com with all important information related to our show, like our message boards at lostpodcast.forwardstu.com. Also, our MySpace page, digusondig.com. Fill out the Wizard Media survey. And also punch Jack in the face.
Which I enjoy.
But, you know,
not mucho. Not every day.
Every other day?
Every other day.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so we'll see you guys this Thursday.
I'm sure we'll have an awesome episode this week.
Cabin theory.
Fever. My theory about the cabin is...
Like, whenever I hear cabin fever, I feel like the theme music is going to be like disco music.
Donna Summer's doing the episode of Lost this week.
Cabin
fever.
All right.
I couldn't do it. I'm sorry.
We'll see you guys this Friday morning.
Yeah.
Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.